A man of business. A man of business. The word laureate is a euphemism invented to describe the status of a personage, or a personage of a status, of which it is awkward to speak. The French Académie, in its modesty, having omitted to supply a definition out of regard for the age of its 40 members. Whenever a new word comes to supply the place of an unwieldy circumlocution, its fortune is assured. The word laureate has passed into the language of every class of society, even where the laureate herself will never gain an entrance. It was only invented in 1840, and derived beyond a doubt from the agglomeration of such swallows' nests about the Church of Our Lady of Loreto. This information is for etymologists only. Those gentlemen would not be so often in a quandary if medieval writers had only taken such pains with details of contemporary manners as we take in these days of analysis and description. Mill. Turquay, or Malaga, for she is better known by her pseudonym, Celia Fausse Maîtresse, was one of the earliest parishioners of that charming church. At the time to which this story belongs, that light-hearted and lively damsel gladdened the existence of a notary with a wife somewhat too bigoted, rigid, and frigid for domestic happiness. Now, it so fell out that one carnival evening Maître Cardot was entertaining guests at Mill. Turquay's house, Deroche the attorney, Bixchet of the caricatures, Listeau the journalist, Nathan, and others, it is quite unnecessary to give any further description of these personages, all bearers of illustrious names in the Comédie Humaine. Young Lapalfirine, in spite of his title of count and his great descent, which, alas, means a great descent in fortune likewise, had honored the notary's little establishment with his presence. At dinner, in such a house, one does not expect to meet the patriarchal beef, the skinny fowl and salad of domestic and family life, nor is there any attempt at the hypocritical conversation of drawing rooms furnished with highly respectable matrons. When, alas, will respectability be charming? When will the women in good society vouchsafe to show rather less of their shoulders and rather more wit or geniality? Marguerite Turquay, the Aspasia of the Cirque Olympique, is one of those frank, very living personalities to whom all is forgiven. Such unconscious sinners are they, such intelligent penitents, of such as Malaga one might ask, like Cardot, a witty man enough, albeit a notary, to be well deceived. And yet you must not think that any enormities were committed. Deroche and Cardot were good fellows grown too gray in the profession not to feel at ease with Bixchet, Listeau, Nathan, and young Lapalfirine. And they on their side had too often had recourse to their legal advisers, and knew them too well to try to draw them out, in laureate language. Conversation, perfumed with seven cigars, at first was as fantastic as a kid let loose, but finally it settled down upon the strategy of the constant war waged in Paris between creditors and debtors. Now, if you will be so good as to recall the history and antecedents of the guests, you will know that in all Paris, you could scarcely find a group of men with more experience in this matter. The professional men on one hand, and the artists on the other, were something in the position of magistrates and criminals hobnobbing together. A set of Bixchet's drawings to illustrate life in the debtors' prison, led the conversation to take this particular turn, and from debtors' prisons they went to debts. It was midnight. They had broken up into little knots round the table and before the fire, and gave themselves up to the burlesque fun which is only possible or comprehensible in Paris and in that particular region which is bounded by the Faubourg Montmartre, the Rue Chaussée d'Antin, the upper end of the Rue de Navarin and the line of the boulevards. In 10 minutes' time they had come to an end of all the deep reflections, all the moralizings, small and great, all the bad puns made on a subject already exhausted by Rabelais 350 years ago. It was not a little to their credit that the pyrotechnic display was cut short with a final squib from Malaga. "It all goes to the shoemakers," she said. "I left a milliner because she failed twice with my hats. The vixen has been here 27 times to ask for 20 francs. She did not know that we never have 20 francs. One has 1,000 francs, or one sends to one's notary for 500, but 20 francs I have never had in my life. My cook and my maid may, perhaps, have so much between them, but for my own part, I have nothing but credit, and I should lose that if I took to borrowing small sums. If I were to ask for 20 francs, I should have nothing to distinguish me from my colleagues that walk the boulevard." "Is the milliner paid?" asked Lapalfirine. "Oh, come now, are you turning stupid?" said she, with a wink. "She came this morning for the 27th time, that is how I came to mention it." "What did you do?" asked Deroche. "I took pity upon her, and ordered a little hat that I have just invented, a quite new shape. If Mill. Amanda succeeds with it, she will say no more about the money, her fortune is made." "In my opinion," put in Deroche, The finest things that I have seen in a duel of this kind give those who know Paris a far better picture of the city than all the fancy portraits that they paint. Some of you think that you know a thing or two, he continued, glancing round at Nathan, Bixia Louisiana Paul Fearin, and Lousteau, but the king of the ground is a certain count, now busy arranging himself. In his time, he was supposed to be the cleverest, adroitest, canniest, boldest, stoutest, most subtle and experienced of all the pirates, who, equipped with fine manners, yellow kid gloves, and cabs, have ever sailed or ever will sail upon the stormy seas of Paris. He fears neither God nor man. He applies in private life the principles that guide the English cabinet. Up to the time of his marriage, his life was one continual war, like, Lousteau's, for instance. I was, and am still his solicitor. And the first letter of his name is Maxime de Trelle, said La Palfirine. For that matter, he has paid every one, and injured no one, continued Desroches. But as your friend Bixia was saying just now, it is a violation of the liberty of the subject to be made to pay in March when you have no mind to pay till October. By virtue of this article of his particular code, Maxime regarded a creditor's scheme for making him pay at once as a swindler's trick. It was a long time since he had